Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
We're back, joined by one of my favorite people, Faith McDonnell, a leader on behalf of religious freedom and a woman who has really devoted her life to protecting both liberty in the religious arena and those who seek it. She is these days the director of religious liberty programs at the Institute for Religion and Democracy. She speaks and writes and is traveling the world on behalf particularly of those now being persecuted for their faith. And I'm always delighted to have her with us, though the topic is one that tears at the heart. But nonetheless, welcome back, Faith. It's so good to have you. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Frank. And you're one of my favorite people,
well,
too.
Well, thank you. Mutual Admiration Society. Faith, I want to start with the sort of macro problem that persecution, particularly of Christians, has reached truly genocidal proportions, as you know, in the Middle East, and notably, but not exclusively, in Syria and Iraq. What is going on to try to attenuate that problem, if anything, and what would you argue should be done that we're not?
Well, Frank, Christians in the Middle East have been targets for centuries, which many of the Iraqi priests who we've spoken to and Syrians have pointed out. But this is unprecedented, the extent to which the Islamic State is going after Christians and the lack of response by a lot of the world, particularly by the leaders of countries, unfortunately by the leader of our own country. So,
and the leaders of the Christian faiths in this country, too, I think it's fair to say as well, isn't it?
It is fair to say. It's fair to say because there's this strange thing going on where Christian leaders, many Christian leaders, are more concerned about welcoming the refugees that President Obama wants to bring into the country and is bringing into the country, regardless of whether they've been vetted or not, than being concerned that, first of all, Christians are not part of that group. I think in the last bunch that came in after the 10,000 from fiscal year 2016, the last bunch that has come in, it's only been 8 Christians or something like that, I think, out of 2,000 that have come in. So I may not have the numbers right, but the percentages have been appalling.
Let me ask you, one of the contributing factors to that, Faith McDonnell, as I understand it, is that the UN High Commissioner for Refugee Affairs basically is the arbiter of who can be considered for refugee status. And I'm told that since Christians are not able to survive, really, in the UN-administered refugee camps in places like Syria and Iraq, that they have essentially been left off the lists, and therefore the UN High Commissioner, who until recently is the man who is now the Secretary General elect of the entire United Nations, Antonio Guterres, they've been woefully underrepresented and in fact discriminated against, because we take whomever they serve up more or less out of the UN. Talk about what's going on with that, Faith, and again, what its implications have been for the Christian population in the Middle East.
Well, you're exactly right, Frank. The Christians are afraid to go to the UN refugee camps because the Muslims in the camps are threatening to kill them, are persecuting them for their faith. So there's nowhere for them to go in order to apply for asylum. And even if they were to apply, knowing that they're Christians, there are people who work for the UN who don't want to help Christians. And the latest thing I've heard, Frank, is that Christian refugees who have fled to Turkey are now being sent deliberately to very strongly Islamic villages and towns and being made to work for almost slave labor. That's the latest that I've heard about what's happening to the ones who are staying in the area. So we really need to support the Christians where they are. They have ideas about what they want to do. They really don't want to leave the Middle East because their culture will die out if they're somewhere else. But they need help to stay where they are, too. And Congressman Fortenberry has put forth some legislation to try to get a protected area for the Christians back where the biblical days were, in Nineveh, the Nineveh Plain.
Faith, let me turn to one other front on which this kind of persecution is taking place. I know you've been working tirelessly on it as well, and that is Pakistan. This is a country that we're often told is an ally of the United States, but in so many ways has, like the Saudis, been playing at best a double game. Talk about the Islamic supremacism in Pakistan and what it's now doing to not just Christian but other minority populations as well.
Yes, there's the Pakistan's blasphemy laws are used arbitrarily against anyone who someone has a grudge against, and because the Islamist mobs, as soon as they hear the words blasphemy, they're ready to lynch the person or make sure that they're put in prison where they'll be sentenced to death. This is used very effectively against Christians, against other Muslims, anybody, and right now the case of Asia Bibi, a Christian mother who's been in prison for, I think, about 6 years now. She was supposed to be on trial yesterday, and the Pakistani government has once again postponed it. I think they're terrified that if it's decided in her favor that she is not guilty of blasphemy. And by the way, this happened because she was working in basically slave labor, which is what Christians have to do, and tried to get a drink of water, and the Muslim women told her, "You can't have that. You're unclean. You can't have the same water we have." And feisty woman that she was, she took a drink and said, "You know, we're not unclean. Jesus is not unclean." And for that, she was sentenced to death for blaspheming against Islam.
This is so appalling and unfortunately so rife now. Let me turn to one other place in which you're making a real mark, and that is with respect to the plight of people in South Sudan. I know you've just returned from there. Remind us what's going on there and what you found on your trip, Faith McDowell.
Well, what you hear in the media, what you're hearing from people like George Clooney about the corruption and everything, there is a narrative that's going forth that isn't completely correct. For one thing, Frank, this country is so different because it's a country that fought against radical Islam, that fought against the forced imposition of Sharia, and could be one of our best allies in the fight against global jihad if we weren't so busy trying to find fault with its government. The former vice president staged a coup against the president. For some reason, we've decided that, well, you know, that this has become a civil war and we should put him back in power along with the president. We tried that. He again assaulted the government just before I went in July of this year, brought 400 of his troops to a press conference, and they shot up the wall outside of the presidential compound. This man is evil. He's in Khartoum, the northern Sudan, right now, and is on his way, I think, to Saudi Arabia.
Faith, we have to leave it at that for the moment, but we will return to this soon with you and others I know. Thank you so much for the work you do at IRD. Come back to us soon. I hope the rest of you will come back to us as well on Monday, same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Affney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.